John chapter 15, verses 12 to 13. First of all, I want to talk today about those who are mothers. If you're a mother today, this point is for you. The rest of us will just get to listen in. John chapter 15, Jesus told his disciples, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lays down his life for his friends." God's purpose for us in this life is to learn and to express love for one another. Perhaps there's nothing more difficult in this world than to love other people. Jesus commands us, his disciples, something rather simple. Love one another. The problem is the next part. As I have loved you. It's easy just to kind of say, I love you. But how do we do with the second part of this? As Jesus has loved us. Mother's Day is a great time for us to honor our mothers. Every one of us has had a mother. Sometimes these mothers have not always been the best, perhaps. And so we've kind of had to work through that, maybe at different points in our life. Maybe we've had people who have filled a motherly role in our life. Maybe we have been a mother to someone who didn't have their own mother. What a great blessing in life to have a godly mother as for our own mothers. There's a lot of emphasis in Christian circles today about maintaining strong values in the family. And there's good reason for that because we see so many problems with families today. So many broken homes, broken marriages, broken parenthood. People don't know really what it means sometimes to be a mother or a father. What is it that makes some place a home? What is it that makes a home? Is our home the place where we have our belongings? I'm going to invite you over to my home today. That's because that's where I have my bed. Is that what makes a home? Well, not really, because there have been points where Rhonda and I and the kids, we haven't had our belongings with us. At one point, we had to wait like 4 or 6 months, I think, before we had our belongings with us. But still, we had a home. So we know belongings don't make a home. Do we call the home where we rest, where we sleep? Not really, because you can sleep anywhere. Hotel, out on the street, up in the woods. Maybe home is a place where we feel safe. If our home is not safe, though, we want to run away and find a place that is safe so that we can find a place and call it home. There are many people who are homeless, and they don't have a safe place to live. Maybe we want to say that home is where our family is. My mom liked to say, "Are you coming home?" And I was all grown up and had my own home. Because home was always where mom and dad were. It was the big brown house on the south side of Spokane. That was home. Well, unfortunately, we had to sell that home last November. And that kind of took a big chunk of my life. That's where I'd spent my entire growing up years. That's all I've known as home for 45 years. And then that home is taken. It's sold. It's no longer in the family. So you kind of have to reevaluate, what does it mean to be home? Home is a place perhaps where we feel warmth and affection and love. We can move our belongings from place to place, or we can sell them in a garage sale or whatever. But home is a place where we know there is love, where we know that we will be accepted. A secret to strong families and a safe home is to love like Jesus. I give you this command, Jesus said, to love one another as I have loved you. Jesus gave one simple command. We could forget all the other laws and rules and regulations. Just love one another. Love is influence. We are part of a chain of love. First of all, the Father loves the Son. John 3:35. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. So Father, Son, The Son loves the disciples. John 15, 9. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. Father, Son, disciples, and disciples then love one another. John 13, 34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. When we fulfill God's purpose for us, we become this channel of God's love. Father, Son, disciple, disciples. We become this channel of divine love. Love never leaves a situation the same. It always changes for the better, whatever situation it comes in contact with. The greatest investment that a mother or a father, I'm going to stick the fathers in here too. The best investment that you can make is to love your children. To love your grandchildren, great-grandchildren if you're fortunate to have them. The way a parent loves her child will influence generations to come. The pattern you set now will determine the pattern for generations to come. Do you think about that very much? How you act, what ways you express your love, how you love your children will affect them for the rest of their lives. And then that will have a trickle down for generations. Love is not easy, however. But fortunately, God gives us help. Jesus offered hope to his disciples. He said in chapter 14, verses 16 and later in 26, he said, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. The helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all the things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Well, what did Jesus just say to them? He talked to them about loving one another. So what is the Holy Spirit going to do? It's going to empower us, remind us, enable us, and fill us with God's love. And so we're not stuck on our own. Mothers, you have a divine help to fulfill God's purpose for you in this world. The Holy Spirit takes the command to love and plants it deeply in our hearts. The Holy Spirit reminds us, especially in those difficult times, that the most excellent way, as Paul the Apostle said in chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, the most excellent way, the Holy Spirit will remind us that love is that most excellent way. The Holy Spirit fills our being with love. So much love that it bursts forth and begins to be an influence in other people's lives. The Holy Spirit gives us the deep compassion that it takes to be a mother, to be a father, to be someone who an influence in someone else's life. To see the people around us, not for what they've done in the past, but as who they can become in God's grace. Little Johnny was watching his mother get ready in the morning, and his mother got out her beauty cream and was putting it all over her face. And little Johnny asked, well, what are you doing, mother? And mom said, making myself beautiful. Then after a couple of minutes, he saw his mom taking it off. And he said, what's the matter, mother? Giving up? We all think that our mothers are the most beautiful in the whole world. I realized this, you know, kind of in a new and a fresh way when we were preparing for my mother passed away last June. I'll tell that about in the last point. But I realized just that I have some beauty genes in my life. I never really thought about it, but I put together the slideshow for my mother's service, and I saw, my mother was beautiful when she was young. And all throughout her life, I never thought about that growing up. But as I had to say farewell to her. I looked back on her life, and my mother was a beautiful person, not just outside, but internally. I want to talk for a moment now to those who have living mothers. The second point of my message. In Acts chapter 16, Luke, who wrote the Acts of the Apostles, describes one of the times when Paul was on his missionary journey. In chapter 16, verses 1 to 5, Paul the Apostle came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was Jewish and a believer, but whose father was a Greek. The believers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of Timothy. Paul wanted to take him along on the journey, so he circumcised him because of the Jews who lived in that area, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. As they traveled from town to town, they delivered the decisions reached by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem for the people to obey. So the churches were strengthened in faith and grew daily in numbers. This is quite an interesting little passage. It tells us something about Timothy. Timothy was a young man. We never really know his age, but he was probably, maybe late teenager, like perhaps some in here, perhaps my son's age. Timothy had a godly mother who was a believer. She was a Jew who became a believer in the Messiah. His father was a Greek. We assume by that meaning that he was not a believer. Timothy came from a home where he had a godly mother and a father who was not a believer, as far as we can determine on this passage. Timothy went on to become one of Paul's most important associates. Paul sent Timothy on some of the most difficult missions recorded in the New Testament. And Timothy did an outstanding job in those difficult spots. Sometimes there were church splits, sometimes there were persecution issues, sometimes there was false teaching issues. But Timothy did a good job wherever he went in ministry. Later on, Paul wrote a couple of letters to Timothy. In his second letter, in 2 Timothy, Paul recounts a little bit about Timothy's growing up years. And so in 2 Timothy chapter 2, I probably have the wrong passage up there if I have it up there. But in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14, Paul writes this to Timothy. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it. Think about that for a moment. Who did Timothy learn about what it means to be a believer? Because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Paul starts off this letter in chapter 1, verse 5. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. Wow, that's significant if you read in between the lines what's going on here. Timothy was influenced by a godly grandmother and a godly mother who became believers in Jesus. He came from a mixed home, Greek, Jew. And Timothy learned, according to chapter 2, he learned the scriptures early on. They didn't have Sunday school, they had synagogue school, if perhaps he was able to go, if they even had a synagogue in Lystra. But Timothy learned the scriptures early on. And he saw the scriptures lived out in his grandmother Lois's life and his mother Eunice's life. What kind of investment did those ladies have in the Church of Jesus Christ? How many lives did Lois and Eunice influence in their home because of what Timothy became? Now, we're probably talking like Paul's up there on the list. He's probably like number one, maybe Peter. Timothy is a close second or third down the list of influence in Christian apostles and leaders of the early church. He traveled all over. You can just look through some of Paul's letters, and it will say, Paul and Timothy, too. Did you know Timothy wrote part of the New Testament? Go look. Some of the letters are from Timothy as well. And so what influence did these two ladies have upon your life? You ever think about that? They have influenced millions and billions of Christians throughout the ages because they were faithful in how they lived. Now, I want to think, now I'm kind of coming from it from Lois and Eunice's perspective. What about Timothy? Timothy learned. He was obedient. He devoted himself to this faith. He watched and he modeled what his mother and grandmother, how they were living. For us who have living mothers, what do we see in their lives that we can live by and live out? I brought with me today one of my favorite books, next to the Bible. This is a book I often read to Shan. It's her favorite book too. It's called I Love You Forever. I want to read this today for you because it has a very deep message, and I'm not sure I can even get through it, but I don't know if you've ever seen this book before. A mother held her new baby very slowly rocked him back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And while she held him, she sang, I'll love you forever, I'll like you for always. As long as I'm living, my baby you'll be. That baby grew. He grew and he grew and he grew. He grew until he was 2 years old, and he ran all around the house. He pulled all the books off the shelves. He pulled all the food out of the refrigerator, and he took his mother's watch and flushed it down the toilet. Sometimes his mother would say, this kid is driving me crazy. But at nighttime, when the two-year-old was quiet, she opened the door to his room, crawled across the floor, and looked up over the side of his bed. And if he was really asleep, she picked him up and rocked him back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. While she rocked him, she sang, I'll love you forever, I'll like you for always. As long as I'm living, my baby you'll be. The little boy grew. He grew and he grew and he grew. He grew until he was 9 years old, and he never wanted to come in for dinner. He never wanted to take a bath, and when Grandma visited, he always said bad words. Sometimes his mother wanted to sell him to the zoo. But at nighttime, when he was asleep, the mother quietly opened the door to his room, crawled across the floor, and looked up over the side of the bed. If he was really asleep, she picked up that nine-year-old boy and rocked him back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And while she rocked him, she sang, I'll love you forever, I'll like you for always. As long as I'm living, my baby you'll be. The boy grew, he grew and he grew and he grew. He grew until he was a teenager. He had some strange friends, and he wore strange clothes, and he listened to strange music. Sometimes the mother felt like she was in a zoo. But at nighttime, when that teenager was asleep, the mother opened the door to his room, crawled across the floor, and looked up over the side of the bed. If he was really asleep, she picked up that great big boy and rocked him back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. While she rocked him, she sang, I'll love you forever, I'll like you for always. As long as I'm living, my baby you'll be. That teenager grew. He grew and he grew and he grew. He grew until he was a grown-up man. He left home and got a house across town. But sometimes on dark nights, when the mother got into her car and drove across town, if all the lights in her son's house were out She opened his bedroom window, crawled across the floor, looked up over the side of his bed, and if that great big man was really asleep, she picked him up and rocked him back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And while she rocked him, she sang, I'll love you forever, I'll like you for always, as long as I'm living, my baby you'll be. Well, that mother, she got older. She got older and older and older. One day she called up her son and said, this is when it gets a little tough for me, sorry. You better come and see me because I'm very old and sick. So her son came to see her. When he came into the door, she tried to sing the song. She sang, I love you forever, I like you for always. But she couldn't finish the song. She was too old and sick. The son went to his mother. He picked her up and rocked her. Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And he sang this song. I'll love you forever, I'll like you for always. As long as I'm living, my mommy you'll be. When the son came home that night, he stood for a long time at the top of the stairs. Then he went into the room where his new baby daughter was sleeping. He picked her up in his arms and very slowly rocked her back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And while he rocked her, he sang, I'll love you forever, I'll like you for always, as long as I'm living, my baby you'll be. That's the kind of influence we can have, you know? Now you know why it's my favorite book. I hardly ever make it through without crying. But just to think, the influence, and how do we pass on the influence that we have received from our mothers? My last sermon point is to those who have lost their mothers. It was a year ago this weekend that my family found out that my mother had lung cancer. Special weekend of Mother's Day, we were able to spend time with her as a family. The next day, we took her into the hospital, and last time she was ever in her home, last time that she was at home was Mother's Day weekend. So we took her into Sacred Heart Hospital in Spokane the next morning, knowing full well that this probably might be the last part of her life. And indeed it was. She spent a few days in the hospital, had some tests done, and then she moved on over into a rehab at a facility and then was there for about 3 to 4 weeks and then, or 3 weeks perhaps, then moved into my sister's home and then we had to put her on hospice and she went to be with the Lord on June 16th. And my heart goes out for those who have lost their mothers. And I know the grief that you feel in your hearts today because your mother is not here with you. And so you feel a kind of an emptiness inside, lots of memories in your life. And you think a lot of things today and you just wish you could celebrate Mother's Day one more time with your mom. But you know, we will someday have a great reunion around the great throne of God with all those who believe. I want to end my message with just three little points. One is the comfort that God gives us as we think about our mothers who are no longer with us. Isaiah chapter 41 verse 10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. God does not leave us alone. Even though our earthly mothers may not be here, maybe our earthly fathers are no longer here, but God is here. And he never leaves us nor forsakes us. I often tell the people in hospice that I minister to, I often use that. You know, God is here with you. And he can bring a peace and a joy. Even though you still have that empty spot in your life, God can fill your life with a joy and a peace that the world cannot understand. A second point is the memories. The memories that God gives us of our mothers. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 3, Paul wrote this. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, because this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may have a long life. I believe that honoring our parents does not end when we leave home at age 18. In fact, it doesn't end when our parents go on to be with the Lord. I believe that we can honor our parents by following in their footsteps the rest of our lives and by passing on the faith that we've received to the next generation. And so this past year, I've had a lot of time to reflect on how I can honor my mother. My mother was a godly woman. She was a faithful Nazarene her whole life, strong believer. I know she wasn't perfect, but still, she trusted in God. And in spite of her shortcomings, in part, despite of her problems, you know, I see God working in her life. Even in the last few weeks of her life, she was still confident in God's grace and mercy in her life. And she was ready to go. And so I can, as her son, honor her life by carrying on her heritage of faith and trust in God, and do my best to hand that on to my own children. And so I am left with a heritage. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 20 to 22. My son, keep your father's commandment and forsake not your mother's teaching. Bind them on your heart always. Tie them around your neck. When you walk, they will lead you. When you lie down, they will watch over you. And when you awake, they will talk with you. And so to keep alive that heritage that has been passed down, I was fortunate enough to know my grandmother, one of my grandmothers. The others were gone when I was very small. But I do remember my grandmother Sundin and her godly heritage that she passed on to her children. How she was a charter member of Spokane Bethel Nazarene, and my grandfather built the church that's in Spokane now, and the heritage that they passed on to my mother. And now I need to pass on that heritage to my own children. You may have a similar story. Maybe yours isn't quite like that. Maybe you are one of those who needs to make a break with the heritage that you received, because your heritage was not that great. Maybe your mother or grandparents were not godly. And maybe you came from a family that struggled. You have that opportunity now to begin that heritage. And it's not too late to begin that heritage. But especially if you're young, you have a great opportunity to pass on that heritage. And so you can develop or start a new stream in your family heritage. At some place back, I don't know how far in my own family, no one really kept good records. Some place back in my family heritage, someone made a choice to begin to live a godly life. That has influenced many generations. And I have to admit that not everyone who is a descendant of my grandmother is living for God today. There are some in my family who have departed from that heritage. And I'm sad to see the results in their families. I'm not going to name names or anything, but I know some of the problems that people have experienced are because they have departed from that heritage that I've received. I know I'm not perfect. Just ask my family. I know you're not perfect either, but we can do our best to guide our families in a way of godliness. 2 Peter, in closing, chapter 3, verse 11. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to live in lives of holiness and godliness? Since we have received this heritage, since we have received the word of God, how are we going to live from this day forward? We can make that decision as mothers, grandmothers, as fathers, as young people. If you're not married, you can choose right now what kind of stream you're going to live and how you're going to live the rest of your life. And so it's never too late to make those decisions.